This is a Triple J podcast.
G'day, it's Dave Marchese with you for the Summer Hack Pod, and hopefully you are enjoying your summer. A bit of time out, maybe you're using this opportunity to head to some more live music than you normally would. Could be heading to the cricket, seeing some sport, the tennis. At the end of the night, when you're finished with whatever you've been at, you might be booking an Uber for the ride home. You open the app, you see that there are a heap of drivers around, but there's surge pricing and you don't know why. Well, it turns out there's a chance you might have been ripped off by what one driver reckons is the oldest trick in the Uber book. It's how drivers are gaming the system to charge you more. It's very interesting and maybe something you haven't heard of before. Our reporter April McLennan's been speaking to some people in the transport industry to try and get to the bottom of what's going on and why.
A few days ago, I landed at Adelaide Airport and called an Uber. There were heaps of people waiting for rides. When my Uber driver came, we instantly got chatting and he pointed to a car park across the road. There were a group of cars parked there and he reckoned they were all Uber drivers, but they weren't waiting for passengers. He told me they were trying to game the system by creating surge prices.
I mean, you can see on the app the little markers of how many cars are there. I mean, you could probably tell it's happening if there's heaps of cars there and there's just, it keeps going up, the surge pricing keeps going up.
Bill's been an Uber driver on the Gold Coast for over 10 years. I called him up to see what he knows about drivers manipulating Uber to create surge prices. Also, Bill's not his real name. We've changed it because he didn't want to risk getting in trouble with Uber.
Yeah, that's a bit of an old trick. It's mainly happens at like airports and like pickups after football games and stuff where there's specific areas of pickup zones. So, a bunch of drivers will just, if they're the only ones there, they'll all say, let's just hold out for a little while. And then the surge pricing goes up.
So how exactly does this work?
The trips come up for the driver and you have a certain amount of time to accept the trip. At the airport, there's a queuing system. It's first in, first out. But if he doesn't accept the trip, he'll go to the next driver. And then if he doesn't accept the trip, then so on and so on. All of a sudden, the app will determine that there's not enough drivers in the area. So the price will start to surge in that specific area. So profitable in a airport zone.
And Bill reckons it can increase your Uber fare up to 3 times the normal amount. How much have you had to fork out for an Uber?
I reckon the worst surge price I saw was coming back from a concert and we were looking at $50 to $60 for an Uber for like a 5-minute drive.
Normally, for my place, it should take $20. When I came from the airport, it cost me $60 for no good reason.
Uber is taking a large percentage of their profits of what it takes to drive the car, fuel the car, maintain the car, when they're really not earning that much from it to begin with. But I don't necessarily think that the customer should be fronting the price of that.
That's a bit of bullshit, to be honest with you. I don't agree with that at all. I mean, I think they should definitely be getting paid more, that's for sure. I don't know about putting it on the customers as opposed to the company, but I understand the struggle, like, I get it.
I'd almost rather they ask for a tip than just artificially put the prices, because that's what it is.
The gun sights of the community should be set, but they should be set firmly on Uber here.
National Secretary of the Transport Workers Union, Michael Caine, says he's well aware of Uber drivers gaming the system.
So drivers are innovative. They will band together. They will manipulate the system to try and push the prices up.
And even though this practice is against Uber's community guidelines, he reckons drivers have a good reason for doing it anyway.
Because when the prices are up, the drivers get a fairer cut, a cut that allows them to pay for their fuel, to pay for their insurances, to pay for the running of the vehicle, to pay for their workers' compensation, things that Uber expect them to bear, but they're not providing them the rates to be able to bear them.
In a statement to me, Uber said any fraudulent activities would result in drivers losing access to the Uber apps and said it would take action to hold them accountable for their behaviour. Back on the Gold Coast, Bill says if Uber paid its drivers better, they'd be less likely to try and game the system.
I mean, the exact same thing happened to the taxi industry in Australia. The government just kept taking more and more and more, and it forced the drivers to just become more and more untrustworthy and creative with doing dodgy things to, you know, scrape the last dollar out from the rider. It's the same thing with Uber, you know, they're taking more, they're charging less.
Hack on Triple J. April McLennan reporting there. Let's get into this more with Jani Blakali, who's an investigative reporter at Choice. Jani, thank you very much for joining us.
No worries, thanks for having me.
What kind of rights do you have as a passenger, Jani, if the price is
ridiculously high. What can you do about it?
Yeah, unfortunately, there's not really that many rights that, that customers have in this situation. Uber has quite a opaque algorithm. We don't really get to see what's going on behind the scenes. I've asked for them to provide information about their algorithm through my reporting and gotten nothing. So your only option in these kinds of cases is, you know, either to look at another rideshare, which, you know, there's very few of because Uber controls around 80% of the rideshare industry in Australia, or to look at a taxi. But I guess because of the kind of market dominance that Uber has, customers are very limited in their choices.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the influence of Uber in Australia, because obviously there are other rideshare apps out there that people might be using. But how dominant is Uber, and is it getting more and more dominant?
Yeah, so Uber launched in 2012. Hard to believe it's that long ago. But, yeah, there was a period there where there was a lot of competition. There were people like Ola who have now folded, GoCatch has now folded. But there was a lot more competition. But slowly over time, Uber has been quite aggressive in their growth, and they've really consolidated market share to the point where now, I think in 2023, Uber brought in around $650 million in revenue in Australia alone, just on its cars, not including Uber Eats. And Didi, who's the next biggest, brought in around $14 million. So that just gives you a kind of sense of the difference in size that we're talking about here.
Yeah, do you think it's going to get worse then, the issues around pricing, if the dominance just continues to take over Australia, Uber?
Yeah, I mean, unless there's, you know, some kind of regulation or some kind of, intervention, you'd imagine that it would only get worse. I mean, but that being said, there are, you know, there are some benefits to having big players in the market as well. I mean, when you look for a ride, often what you're looking for is the convenience, and you're looking for someone to show up really quickly. And with all the drivers concentrated on one app, you do get that. So I'm not saying that it's perfect, but I mean, there are some positives as well as negatives to Uber being such a dominant player as well.
Yeah, a lot of people rely on it every day, obviously. Well, look, thank you for your take, Johnny Blakali from Choice. Appreciate your time.
No worries. Thank you.
Summer Hack on Triple J.
That was Johnny Blakely, an investigative journalist at Choice, breaking all of that down. And hopefully your mum can pick you up after a night out so you don't have to fork out extra cash for a rideshare. It's the easiest option. Get someone you know, mate, to pick you up. That is all we've got time for on the Summer Hack Pod for now. I'll catch you next time. Thanks so much for listening. Hack.